Holy Gospel is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. Jesus spoke to them again in parables. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent out his servants to summon those who were invited to the wedding banquet, but they did not want to come. Then he sent out other servants and said, 'Tell those who are invited, look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But those who were invited paid no attention and went off, one to his own farm, another to his business. The rest seized the king's servants, mistreated them, and killed them. As a result, the king was very angry. He sent his army and killed those murderers and burned their town. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. So go to the main crossroads and invite as many as you find to the wedding banquet.' Those servants went out to the roads and gathered together everyone they found, both good and bad. The wedding hall was filled with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without wearing wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. The king told the servants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are invited. Invitations come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, come for all kinds of different reasons and for events. And you know, maybe it's an invitation to a birthday party. Maybe it's a wedding invitation. Maybe it's an invite to the grand opening of a business, and usually they attach a little coupon so you actually spend some money if you go to the grand opening. It's a little incentive to sweeten the deal. Or maybe it's an invite to dinner with friends or to a pool party at their house. We get invitations like that all the time. And some of those invites, they're going to interest you. You're going to look at your schedule and go, okay, is this going to fit? Is this going to work for me? And there's going to be other invitations you're like, maybe not. And then you look at some of the invitations you get, and unfortunately, maybe it's an invite you would want to accept, and another invite you'd want to accept, but they're both happening at the same time, and you have to decide which one you can go, because we haven't figured out how to clone yourself and be in two places at the same time, you know. And sometimes we have that with invitations, but when it comes to these invites, we either accept them and go to the event, or we turn them down. We might ignore them, but that's still turning down the invite. Yet there are some invitations that we get that are so unique, so special, so exclusive, that others would think you're being ridiculous if you reject them. For example, you get an invitation to go on an all-expenses-paid destination vacation with no conditions, no strings attached. You don't have to sit and listen to some presentation droning on for 3-4 hours or something. Everything's paid for. It's just what it is. It would be ridiculous to turn that down. Or maybe you have a chance, an invitation to go backstage and meet your favorite musical group or your favorite star. It's a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing. You know, it would be ridiculous to turn down that invitation. Or maybe an invitation to attend the Super Bowl or the World Series or some other once-in-a-lifetime event. This is like your one shot, your one chance to do this, and it would seem foolish to turn that down. So with all these invitations that we get, and we get all kinds of them, where does the invite we receive to attend God's heavenly banquet rank? Is it down there with kind of the one you get with the mailer that goes out to everybody, and it's got that really personal to the valued customer living at this house, you know, you're invited to this? Or is it something more special, something more exclusive? In the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, we heard him earlier, he described this heavenly banquet. He said, "On this mountain, the Lord of armies will prepare for all peoples a banquet of rich food, a banquet of aged wines, with the best cuts of meat and with the finest wines. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face. He will take away the shame of his people throughout the earth." Sounds like quite the party. party full of joy, party full of our loved ones in the Lord, party full of the finest foods, a party like no other. Yet what will we do with that invitation? Our God calls out, you are invited. You know, it was going to be a glorious day. The marriage of the century was about to happen. A wedding was about to take place in the household of the king. The king planned to go all out for this marriage, this wedding of his son. He would spare no expense. He worked out every last detail down to the, even like, what kind of napkin holders there were going to be for the napkins. The beautiful banquet would include an unending flow of the choicest meats, the finest wines, and the most delicious desserts. The king then personally invited each guest. He hand-selected where they were going to sit, who was going to sit where. It was just exactly the way it was going to be. And then he sent out all of his servants out into his kingdom to take these invitations to this exclusive, once-in-a-lifetime wedding of the century event. And yet the invited guests refused. Now, the king was undeterred, and so he sweetened the deal. He said, tell those who are invited, look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened cattle have been butchered. This is going to be the barbecue of barbecues in the history of barbecues. This was going to be the party of the century. And everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. Come now. Everything's ready. And strangely, they rejected the invitation. Some blew it off with indifference as they paid no attention, and they went off, one to his own farm, one to his business. I mean, it was ridiculous. They didn't care about this grand banquet. They had other more important things to do. Still others reacted more violently. The rest seized the king's servants, mistreated them, and even killed them. The king was rightly enraged at such violent behavior, and he reacts quite strongly. He sent his army and killed those murderers and burned their town. Yet even then, the king wasn't deterred. He had a grand banquet, and he needed people to come to that wedding banquet. Everything was still prepared, and so he sent out a broad invitation. Go to the crossroads. Invite as many as you see, as many as you find to my wedding banquet. And so his servants, they went out, and they went out to the roads, they went out to the highways and the byways, and they gathered together everyone that they found, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with wedding guests. The king wanted his wedding hall filled for his grand banquet. It didn't matter what they looked like. It didn't matter who they were related to. It didn't matter how much money or lack thereof in their bank account. It didn't matter what their social status was. It didn't matter what happened in their past. All that mattered was that they come to the king's glorious banquet. You are invited. And when the wedding hall was full of guests, the king noticed something strange. He noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Back in Jesus' day, it was common. You had special clothes that you wore for a wedding. And this man, he said to him, friend, how'd you get in here without wearing wedding clothes? The man was speechless. And then the king told the servants, tie him hand and foot and throw him out into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus' story comes to an end. Many will be called, but few will be chosen. Now what's going on here? This is a rather unusual story that just kind of swings back and forth with emotions and reactions and so on. I mean, why would Jesus tell this story? I mean, who would reject a royal invitation and what kind of king would burn down a town because the people reject his invitation? What kind of a king would invite the good and the bad and then toss people out for wearing the wrong clothes? We need to understand why Jesus told this story in the first place. So we've heard the last couple of weeks, Jesus is telling a series of stories in the court of the temple on the Tuesday of Holy Week. It's just a couple of days before he is going to be put to death on a cross on Good Friday. It's his last day of teaching in public. The temple courts are just full of people there celebrating the ancient festival of Passover. His disciples are hanging on his every word, but there's also others who are there to listen to Jesus. Religious leaders, religious experts, people who had, for many reasons, have been his enemies. They should have recognized him and welcomed him. I mean, they knew their Old Testaments. They knew how Jesus was matching up all these prophecies. Jesus had shown that over the course of 3 years. Instead, they oppose him. They reject his invitation. So Jesus told them a series of stories, a series of parables. He told them of two sons and their willingness or unwillingness to do work in the vineyard for their father. Or he told them of wicked tenants in a man's vineyard who even killed the man's son in the process. And finally, he told them this unusual story, but why? With each of these stories, Jesus was trying to call these leaders of Israel to repent, to turn from their sins and live, to recognize him as their Messiah, their Savior, their God, while there was still time. He was calling them into the kingdom of God, but they wanted everything on their terms. They were going to get into the kingdom on their own terms, their own works, their own actions, their own choices, their own efforts, their own merit. They opposed Jesus' claim as the Son of God. They resisted his ministry. They opposed his whole reason for being there in Jerusalem in the first place, to suffer and die for their sins and the sins of all mankind. But they weren't about to get into God's kingdom on their own, on their terms. It was either through Jesus or nothing at all. It's either through Jesus or they were on the outside. So Jesus warned them of God's coming judgment for their ridiculous rejection. And even then, as Jesus is calling them, come to the banquet now, now's the time. Even then, Jesus' sweet words of gospel invitation called out to them, drawing them in, come now while there is still time. You are invited. Sweet words that are directed to us too. Jesus, the King of Kings, calls us to the greatest banquet of all. I mean, he's so gracious in inviting us. None of us deserve such an invitation, and yet the King graciously extends his special invitation to us through the good news of sins forgiven, of peace for troubled hearts, of life for the dead and dying through him alone. Come to the wedding banquet, he calls out to us. Come and enjoy a rich banquet of forgiveness and grace, mercy and peace, healing and life through me, your Savior King. We've been invited to God's heavenly banquet, but will we go? Or are we like those people who blew off the King's invitation with indifference? Do we ever find ourselves giving our attention to what fills our time here and now rather than the King's heavenly banquet? Do we ever allow the distractions of this life to take their attention, take our attention away from what is most important? Do we ever allow the King's invitation to just kind of get buried under the more important things in life to the point that we lose it and we can't find it anymore? So instead of eagerly going to the banquet, I pay no attention because I'm so distracted with the business of this life. Or maybe by my life or my choices, I reject the invitation. I reject what I hear in God's word. I do so with hostility. I don't like what God's word has to say about, and you fill in the blank. I don't like to be called to repent, to turn from my favorite sins. You know those ones that seem so fun to me in the moment? And so I can live as God's holy child, because what's the fun in that? I proudly and ridiculously reject God's grace in Christ. Or maybe it's not so much my sin, it's what I think I can do. I can get myself in. I want God to give me his kingdom on my terms, while I foolishly ignore that I can only get there through Christ my Savior. That's where Jesus calls to you and me. He says, come now, come appropriately. And those words become words of warning. They become words of coming judgment. The King has every right to be enraged. He has extended his invitation to each of us out of gracious mercy. And yet we ridiculously reject his invitation. We slip into indifference or hostility or self-righteousness towards God or towards his word or towards his will. We deserve to be destroyed or cast out of the banquet forever, and yet in Christ we have the one who took the full wrath of God on himself for us on the cross for those sins of indifference and hostility. In Christ, we have the one who graciously and repeatedly extends to us the invitation to his heavenly banquet while there's still time. He still invites us to join him in the fellowship of his blessings, no matter who we are, no matter who we're related to, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done or where we come from, in Christ, we still, as long as we are still alive, his invitation is ours. And we come to the banquet, we are clothed not with our works, not with our choices, not our decisions. We are clothed with the holiness of Christ. You know, that's actually ours through baptism. That's actually what Collins received in her baptism this morning. God's word tells us this. In fact, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Indeed, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Made holy by Jesus, we all enjoy that heavenly banquet of the King of Kings for all eternity. Friends, the invitation is ours. The table is set, the banquet is prepared. The King of Kings has everything ready. All that's needed are the guests. How joyful that day will be when we and many others, perhaps even people invited there by us, will sit down to enjoy that heavenly banquet with our Savior King. Amen.